Com.
The night the living water walked on water.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus.
Storms are crashing all around us. This was what it was like in the boat with the disciples. Matthew 14, Mark 6, and John 6. Jesus walks to them on the water. They were more afraid at someone walking on the water. Then Peter says, Lord, let me come to you. He gets out and he walks on the water. But what happens? You know the story. The minute his eyes got on the storm and off of Jesus, he sunk. It got worse. But when Jesus got to him, lifted him up, everything changed. Because he is God over the storm. Is he your God? Are you trusting Jesus? Have you partaken of the living water, the bread of life, the God of the storm? Because everything changes, including those storms in your life, when you have Jesus Christ in your life. Look to him.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus. Available now in bookstores. Learn more at lastwordsofjesus.com.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes alongside my good buddy Doug McCary coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. What is it? April 16th?
Day after tax day.
Yeah, day after tax day. Day after my daughter's birthday.
And, that's right.
Good to be with you, brother. Hey,
enjoy. The second time we're together today. So
exactly.
We're together this morning.
Yeah, we love to hang out together, right? You know.
Yeah, it was a good group. Good group there.
Oh, it's such a we're not going to go there. Great text that we're working through over there on the west side, First Kings. In fact, I was sharing with one of the guys how much I enjoy. I don't know that I've ever done a deep dive into First Kings or Second Kings for that matter. You know, taking bits and pieces of it over the course of 40 years, but never done a deep dive into that text, into that book. And it's like it should be. It's life-changing.
Yeah, it is. And it's you did a really good job last week, and I really appreciate your notes linking it together because, you know, when you teach just a short section of Kings, it's kind of tough sometimes. In fact, Billy told me that, you know, when I was leaving, he said, yeah, you know, when you get a little section over here, sometimes it's hard to dig down, but there's always stuff to dig out. There's always stuff there. It never ceases to amaze me.
There is a lot. My wife is not a chicken wing person. Are you a wing guy?
We like wings.
Okay, yeah,
we
do. Vicky doesn't like wings. She likes chicken.
Yeah.
But she won't eat wings, so I usually buy her something else. But when she starts eating chicken, I look over and I go, baby, there's a lot of meat on that bone.
she won't eat it all.
So I'm like, here, pass it down to the dog here. I'll finish it off.
Uh-huh.
But Kings is kind of that way. I mean, there's a lot there. Well, heck, we're in Mark chapter 6 this week. There's a lot of meat on that bone.
Oh, there is.
A text that most are very familiar with. I mean, you know, you think of when you first come to Christ, what's the first book you jump into? It's generally going to be one of the Gospels, and we're in Mark.
And Mark's a good Gospel. One because you it can is. Read a chapter a day and read it twice in a month.
Exactly. Right? It's exactly right.
But, it's a very good one to recommend. Well, you know, I don't know if you knew this,
probably April, not. I'll just tell you that right now.
April is Stress Awareness Month. Did you know that?
Does it have anything to do with the IRS?
I didn't know there was such a
well,
thing.
Well, we need something for every month, right? I mean,
yes.
At least or every day.
You know who Gallup is, right? He
yes.
does all the
yeah,
polls. He's been doing polls for years, and he says, in the history of polling, all the polls he's ever done, Americans are more stress now than ever before, which doesn't surprise you, right? Look at where we are as a country. 7 out of 10 Americans are stressed about their money and financial needs. They use the American Psychological Association calls our collective trauma as a nation because of COVID, mm-hmm. the global conflicts, inflation, and, you know, ethnic racism or ethnic injustice, and Bloomberg calls it that stress is the great unifying force in America right now. That's what's bringing Americans together, as they all feel in the same boat. Is that not interesting?
That is very interesting. You know, oftentimes I want to text you and say, hey, what's on your mind today as we go into the station?
Yeah.
Never did I think we would talk about April being Stress Awareness Month. But
yeah,
this is interesting. And you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're to really examine your own life, mm-hmm. as we do here on the breaks a lot of times,
well,
how are we dealing with stress? You know, cast your cares upon him. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of the text you taught last week from Mark chapter 5, you know, that looking at two people, Jairus and the woman who'd been bleeding, probably dealing with a lot of stress.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. When you look at this woman who for 12 years was basically, she was unclean, but she was excommunicated from the community. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could, could touch what she touched, or it was unclean. And so she couldn't go to temple, couldn't go to synagogue. And it was an awful, awful thing. And Jesus brought healing to her, which is what he does. Mm-hmm. He brings healing. He, mm-hmm. you know, I was thinking about it this morning, you know, Jesus, they wanted to kill him, and he brought healing to people. He literally healed people all over Galilee. Mm. He healed people mm. in Jerusalem, and they wanted to kill him because of what he said.
Yeah.
Even though what he said was authenticated by what he did,
mm-hmm.
and they did mm-hmm. it right in front of him. And yeah. we're going to look at how unbelief today really demonstrates itself and what it does with truth. It ridicules and rejects the evidence that's right in front of you. You know, it's almost like, Brad, I could say I have this Dunkin' Donut drink right here.
By the way, I'm proud of you. Dunkin', you've gone a couple of weeks now.
Yeah. We're the Dunk Kings. You know, that commercial with
I've got my Starbucks cup here.
That's okay. Baby killer. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. that's what my grandson mm-hmm. said. Anyway, no, I don't, I you know, the, I was just talking to a person that works at Starbucks as a manager who's a believer. He's trying to make a difference in that world.
Good.
And, you know, he asked me to pray for him. Yeah. I saw him and I said, how are you doing? And he said, okay, but pray for me, because I've got an opportunity for a promotion. And he sees that as a mission field for him.
Amen.
You know, and so I get the whole, we don't support what they do, but they need Jesus too.
That's right.
And so, you know.
Well, we are commanded to go into the dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the, you know, national retailers, the national restaurants, those, there's some dark places in there, you know.
There are, and but we are the light. We are the
right.
We are the ambassadors. But you know, and as I was getting ready for this week, the SWAT teaching, the in-person SWATs this week, just thinking about the fact that Jesus is getting ready to send out his disciples. And really, when you look at Mark 6, 1 through 6, which precedes him sending them out, he takes them back to Nazareth, his hometown, where he's already been threatened. They wanted to kill him there for proclaiming that he was Messiah. And, you know, Jesus takes these disciples back there purposely, I believe, to see him preach in the midst of rejection. Because they're going to experience that. In fact, we know from Matthew 10, he tells them that.
Yeah.
When I go do evangelism seminars and train people in the prayer, care, share, and how to share their faith, one of the questions I ask is, why don't we share? You know, because 95% of the people in Christian churches have never told anybody the gospel of Jesus. They've never shared the Evangelion. And the overwhelming response is always fear. It's fear of rejection. And so Jesus takes these disciples to a place he's already been rejecting, knowing he's going to be rejected again.
Yeah.
He's so compassionate, though, he goes back anyway. And he takes this this group of ragtag guys that nobody would have picked to be their religious leaders. And they're going to be the elders of Israel. They're going to be the elders of the true Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Israel that is the 12 tribes of, you know, the Israel that is the spiritual Israel. And he tells them that. I can't remember right offhand exactly where I read it this morning, briefly as I was doing some research. But he says, you will rule. You are going to rule the 12 tribes. And I mean, think about it. There's not one Pharisee, not one Sadducee, not one scribe among them. They're just ragtag bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes them back to Nazareth and to this place where he, it says, is astonished at their lack of belief. I mean, he grew up here. They knew him. They heard the stories about him, but they didn't believe him. Not because they didn't have evidence, but because they ridiculed and rejected the evidence. And that's what we're gonna look at that today, and look at how unbelief mocks and maligns the messenger of God, because it can't dispute the truth in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it slanders the messenger. Do we have a problem with that in our country?
I was going to say, sounds like some of our news stations.
Yeah, they can't deny the evidence of the truth, so they try to just mock the person, bring it. And then third, we're going to look at how it opposes, unbelief opposes and actually obstructs God's power, not permanently, but in a limited capacity. It does limit, because God says, okay, you're gonna exercise unbelief here. I'm gonna let you do it, and I'm not gonna do a miracle here, because there's no need to attest to divine truth when you've already rejected divine truth.
Mm.
So that's what we're gonna see this week in the text. Primarily today, we're gonna look at verses 1-3, and talk about how unbelief ridicules and rejects divine evidence and mocks and maligns the divine messenger. And so, and just as a quick reminder, yesterday we kind of hit on this. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, it was unbelief that led Eve to sin. She didn't believe God,
mm-hmm.
because what did Satan tell her?
Yeah.
You're not going to die.
Yeah.
Who did she believe?
Really say?
Who did she believe?
Mm-hmm.
She didn't believe God.
Right.
She believed Satan. And when we believe the lies of Satan, that's when we commit acts of disobedience, because we don't exercise faith in God. We don't believe God says, really means what he says.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good word. Good word. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. By the way, our good friend Jay, our SWAT brother, it just sent us a text, says, we are listening to y'all in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Twin Falls. That's probably not far from James Grimm out there, man.
I was going to say, I was thinking about that. And in fact, maybe you guys need to let us know. I think I saw some snow that you guys might have been having. Well, it's about 88 degrees here in Jacksonville. And anyway.
We need to keep his wife, Lee, lifted up in prayer, praying for healing there and praying for their family. And we're just so thankful for both their ministries, and they're out enjoying a little together time.
A little R&R, and he is such an encouraging brother. And anyway, glad you tuned in this afternoon. If you want to call later on, you can call us at 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT, SWATradio.com. You can also email us your questions at ask@SWATradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Fernandina Beach at 91.3.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call in, 844-777-7928. Always good to get your emails and texts from our SWAT brothers and even those who don't. You know, we're on a number of stations around the country, and we love knowing you're out there, you're tuned in, you're listening. And again, we were just talking on the break how important it is to not only know the word, but to believe the word.
That's
and
right.
Boy, I am daily challenged by that reality, that God doesn't just call me to know him. He calls me to believe in him.
Yes, to believe. And, you know, when you look this morning, when I was sharing over on the west side, I brought up the example of Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Mm. Saul was a guy who knew the word. The word had been given to him by Samuel. And yet he did not believe because his actions went directly against what God told him to do.
Yeah.
Now, and we're not, listen, there are times that you are going to react, and you're going to react in the flesh when temptation comes your way, either through pride or through just a visceral moment, driving your car down JTB or, you know, the highway, somebody cuts you off and you get angry. That's a visceral reaction that comes because we all in us have a sense of justice. And most of us, including me, believe that justice starts with me, right? I mean, like if we're honest, do. We know that the way we look at life is a lot of times through the lens of my justice.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's hard.
My wife reminds me, it's a quote she got, I think, from Paul Tripp that says, "This ain't your party." This isn't your party. This is God's story. He's writing it out, and he's going to write that story in the midst of difficult things. And I think even as we look at the passage for this week, Jesus brings these guys to Nazareth, his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're going to get some credit, this is where you think you get some credit.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity for Jesus to let his disciples know, this is what you're going to experience as you go out.
Yeah, the whole thing about taking them back there is, I really believe he knew what he was taking them into, and it was purposeful, like I shared in the opening. And I, you know, he's getting them ready to be trained, but I want to go back to this idea about unbelief. Because every time we sin, it's because of unbelief. Even believers, people who are followers of Jesus, who are regenerate, because your flesh reacts sometimes, or you get tempted and you're blinded by something, you can make a decision that is grounded in unbelief because you don't believe at that moment. You choose to believe the consequences won't be there, even mm-hmm. though you're God's child, and even though you know there will be consequences. As any parent, you know, when you have a child that you tell them not to do something and they don't obey you and you don't bring a consequence, you are setting that child up to continue in unbelief. And God is the perfect father. He's not going to let you do that. Mm-hmm. So when he brings something in front of you where you fail, you make a choice of unbelief. If you keep failing, it will get worse. He will keep bringing things up. And when you look at Saul, he eventually just stripped the kingdom from him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a progression. And, you know, this morning when I shared, I talked about how it started off with what seemed like a very reasonable act on his part to not kill somebody that God had told him to wipe out.
Mm-hmm.
You could rationalize. We rationalize far less.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
But the thing was, it says that he built a monument to himself. And you were over in Israel when I taught about that at Carmel.
Yeah.
And he was going down a progression. Solomon did the same thing. Solomon allowed unbelief of what God said. You're not supposed to have a lot of wives. Okay, I got a lot of wives. And I'm okay.
Yeah.
And people, I've actually had people say that to me. You know what? Nothing's happening. If God is real, why didn't he strike me dead? You know, people have made mm-hmm. that argument mm-hmm. before. Well, first of all, we're going to see today that if you want to wander in unbelief, he's going to let you wander unless you're his. And if you're his, he will intervene just like he did in the Apostle Paul's life on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
And Paul had a complete turnaround.
Yeah,
he had a complete turnaround. So this opposition and obstruction to God's divine power does not overpower his sovereign will, you know? And that's an important point to make because, you know, there's people that teach that it can, which puts the power in Brad's hands and my hands. And
you don't want it there.
No.
As I said, God's going to have his way with or without you.
Yeah, well, his will is going to be accomplished, right?
Yeah.
And so Mark 6, 1 through 6, where it's also over in Matthew 13. I'm going to have you read the whole text again, starting mm-hmm. in verse 1 of chapter 6. And then we're going to just go through verse by verse as we look at first this ridicule and rejection of the divine evidence. Then we're going to look at how in verse 3 that unbelief mocks and maligns God. Divine messenger. Okay.
Yeah. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work, work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." These are the very words of God.
Yeah, they are. He went about the villages. You know, when you think about this passage here, and by the way, it's in Matthew also. It's not in Luke. Luke only records the first time he is in the synagogue there in Nazareth. And again, when you think about Nazareth, Nazareth is, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Nazareth is a small village. It had a, quote, small town mentality. you know, and we talked mm-hmm. about that yesterday, what that means. But it was a village of about somewhere between 300 to 500 people, which is only probably 40 to 60 families. I mean, that's not that many mm-hmm. when you stop and think about it. And it was located about 25 miles off Capernaum, which is where his main base was after the first time he preached there in Nazareth, his hometown. And so outside of his hometown in Capernaum and let's see, some of the other cities up there, Magdala, maybe certainly in Chorazin, and those areas around the Sea of Galilee, and maybe even as far south as Jerusalem, he was regarded as a prophet and a teacher. And in his town, oh, they weren't having anything to do with that. They go, this guy's a carpenter, and they're gonna they pretty much reject him. Now you got to remember, Jesus, in their culture, people came into manhood at about 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. We don't know when his father's off the scene, but Jesus was there and would have been the leader of the Betav of that family until, you know, he decides to go on his mission, which was about 30. And so he went to synagogue with his family. He would have grown up going there every week. He went to the festivals with. We know he went with his family when he was right. 12. He was in the temple right. and they left him.
Right.
And so he had aunts and uncles. You know, he probably had other siblings there. We know John the Baptist was a cousin, so there was mm-hmm. relatives that he would have known. So he was a regular member of that community, would have known everybody in that community. And he was a builder too. His father was a builder. He was a builder. And so this small little town did not know what to do with these stories that had come back about their son, their hometown boy. They didn't know. And so when you look at the first thing, it says his disciples followed him there. Almost surely he told them that, you know, this is going to be tough, you know, because they weren't with mm-hmm. him the first time.
Right.
In fact, let me read this the first time. Over in Luke 4, it says, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So he goes through that text in Isaiah, and then he rolls it up. He sits down. Everybody's looking at him, because normally after you read, you give a 3 to 4 minute little mm-hmm. Teaching on it, and then you right. have dialogue back and forth. Well, he said, today the scripture's been fulfilled in your presence. What? I mean, that was a bold statement. And it says they all spoke well of him at that moment. They're going, really? I mean, it's fulfilled today? And it says that was very gracious, because everybody wanted Messiah to come. Sure. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, today it's fulfilled. And then they said, isn't this Joseph's son? They said it there. And he said to them at that point, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. So Jesus is prophesying that they're going to say to him mm-hmm. the things that they're going to say. And he goes on to basically mention the widow of Zarephath. And he mentions Naaman the Syrian, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that when we come back. I know we got to go to break. But the first time he was there, the way it ends is they're going to throw him off a cliff mm-hmm. and kill him. And he just goes through him, and nothing happens because yeah. it's not time.
Amazing. Yeah. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Aid requests for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan may finally be making their way to the House floor.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing for votes this week on aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan.
There are precipitating events around the globe that we're all watching very carefully, and we know that the world is watching us.
Johnson plans to hold four separate votes on the package and leaves open the possibility of significant changes from the $95 billion aid package the Senate passed in February. But he's facing outright rebellion from conservatives.
This is such a scam, and people are so done with it.
Like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who accuses Johnson of passing measures hard right Republicans vehemently oppose. Ben Thomas, Washington.
And House Speaker Johnson says Republicans demand the Senate hold a full impeachment trial for Alejandro Mayorkas.
If Senator Schumer cares at all about the suffering of Americans and the disaster that Mayorkas has wrought at the border, then he will hold a full and public trial. The American people want a full and public trial. I think they deserve to see the evidence, and it will be unconscionable, and I, in my view, unconstitutional, if Chuck Schumer fails in that responsibility.
While the Senate is obligated to convene a trial under the rules of impeachment, Democrats are expected to dismiss or table the charges before any of the arguments are underway. Also at SRNNews.com, the Biden administration is enlisting officials in 15 states to help enforce consumer protection laws covering air travel. The Department of Transportation said it will give the states power to investigate complaints about airlines and ticket sellers and then refer cases to the federal government for enforcement. The Dow had 122 points and the NASDAQ is up 7. This is SRN News.
If you ask a tennis professional who she wants to practice with, she will usually say, someone who's better than me. Why? Because competition makes us better. The English statesman Edmund Burke captured this truth when he said, "He that wrestles with us strengthens our nerves and sharpens our skill. Our antagonist is our helper." The Bible certainly agrees with that philosophy. The book of Proverbs talks about people making each other better as iron sharpens iron. If you meet someone who does something better than you, thank God for that person and see how you can learn from his skill and experience. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's teachers on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Expect some delays because of a crash on I-95 southbound at State Road 9B. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on Butler Boulevard eastbound at the ramp to Gate Parkway. And there's a disabled vehicle in St. Johns County on I-95 northbound at the International Golf Parkway. Partly cloudy tonight, low 61. Wednesday, partly sunny, high 87. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you have tuned in this afternoon. If you're new to SWAT, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. Doug and I get up here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and work our way through a particular text that Doug is teaching around the city of Jacksonville and even online. And if you are interested in being a part of our community, go to SWATradio.com. You can click on the meetings tab and see the various locations and the times that we meet. We're glad you're tuned in, but we'd love to have you in person as well. And there's a great study. We'll get kicked off tomorrow for this week as we look at Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. And then we'll kind of go back over that again next week. So, but for the time being, glad you tuned in. Glad you're working through this text with us. You know, Doug, you and I share quite often just on a one-on-one basis how much digging into the word like this just it doesn't work in us. We feel like God has called us to teach it, but in teaching it, we allow God to do a work in us.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said, as we look at the scriptures, it's both a window and a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this is a great encouragement, seeing this text.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we were, before we went to break, we were kind of talking about Jesus growing up. And like I said, we don't know when his father died, his earthly father, Joseph, who was a surrogate father, obviously, of him. But, you know, at the age of 12, some places 13, boys would go through a bar mitzvah, girl was bas mitzvah, and it was where they were then required to keep the law. I mean, it wasn't that they weren't required beyond that, but then they were kind of held morally accountable for it.
Because they could understand.
Yes, they could. But it was the age of 20 where they really became adults. They were taxed as an adult and all that stuff. And so for about 10 years, Jesus lived there as the head of that, you know, that Betav, that family. And it would have been his responsibility to care for his mother. We don't, again, know when Joseph passed. But this is his hometown. His disciples were there, and he's back in the same synagogue. So why do you think they let him come back in, Brad?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the same synagogue that they wanted to kill him because he brought out things about Elijah and Zarephath and the widow of Zarephath and then Elisha and Naaman. And so they didn't want him there. And now they've invited him back. Could it be maybe that the word had spread there and they thought, well, maybe he'll do a miracle here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he made statements. Remember, that's why I read the Luke 4 passage, because in that passage, he says, you're going to ask me to do miracles. So maybe they allowed him to come back to speak and maybe do a miracle because they heard the rumors that he was a miracle worker. And so it says in verse 2, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Now, just stop right there. They were astonished. They were amazed. Why? Why were they amazed? Well, he's God. I mean, when Jesus spoke, he spoke the words of God.
Yeah, with authority.
With authority. When he was speaking about anything spiritual, he was in the presence of God. He was filled with the Spirit 24/7, as far as like walking in unity with the will of the Father. And so when he spoke, Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 1:1, long ago and many times and many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken through his Son, Jesus. And he said he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when he spoke, you were astonished.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine being in the presence of God?
Yeah.
I mean, like, he spoke, and so they were astonished, but they go, where did this guy get these things, these sayings? How did he know? He's just a carpenter,
right? We know this dude.
Yeah. Where did this common, everyday guy learn to teach like this? They did not deny his teaching or the miracles, but they rejected it because it came from him.
Yeah.
They go, there's no way he would do that.
Well, you said, they were astonished because this is God.
Yes.
Even though they didn't recognize him as God.
Yes. And you know, John 1:14, the word became flesh and tabernacled.
Yeah. Dwelt among us.
Among us. God has always used miracles and mighty works through his servants. Moses was a ferocious speaker, even though he said he can't speak. Elijah, these men were dynamic speakers who had accompanying miracles. And now Jesus is there. Of course, when he spoke, they were astonished. If Jesus walked in and just started speaking, we would just be like, the word there means blown away. Literally, in our vernacular, it means they were blown away. Where did this common everyday guy, this fellow in the Greek, it's kind of like, hey, where did this guy get this?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And how are mighty works done by him? He's nobody.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. And that's the thing I pull out of this is his teaching astonished them. His wisdom astonished them. His mighty works astonished them. And is not this the carpenter?
Yeah.
Not this is God. No, this is the carpenter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This is that guy who's really from a questionable past. We're going to see that here too. And so, you know, the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Because a lot of times when people think they know you, they dismiss you because they know you. And but familiarity with Jesus didn't breed contempt because he was not a contemptible person, right? He was God. And that's what I'm saying. You know, when you, it's not the fact, like what Jesus did was very, it was a respected profession. They're not saying he was just a lowly carpenter, because what he did, the word there is tekton, we'll get to that in a second. He set the cornerstone for the buildings. Everybody else could come in and build after he did his initial work. But you know, you look at this, they were astonished. And then, and not even a second later, where did this man get these things? Not that they're that's a ridiculing statement here. And they ridicule and they reject what's right in front of them. They don't say, wow, this is from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just ridicule and they reject it. And then in verse 3, they say, is not this the carpenter? That's the word tekton. It really means handyman. What they were saying is, this guy is not a spiritual guy. He's not a Pharisee.
Yeah.
He's not a Sadducee. He's not a religious leader. He's not even an Essene. He's just a common handyman. And then they throw in the son of Mary. That's a slight. That's a slam. It's basically, remember when I read in the Luke passage the first time, isn't this Joseph's son? That's normally what they would say. But when they say the mother, it's a slight to him. And there was a questionable part of the fact that he grew up with a virgin mother who wasn't married when she was pregnant.
Gotcha.
And so they're slamming him. Over in John 8, you can see that, because in John 8, Jesus says, he says, you're of your father, the devil. And they go, we are not illegitimate children, inferring he is. Because that was the rumor. That was the rumor that Jesus was illegitimate. So he came from a questionable background. Isn't he the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And it says they took offense at him. The word offense is the word scandalon or scandalous. It's in our language is scandalous. Why? Why was Jesus scandalous? Well, because of the questionable upbringing, and also because of the things that he was saying. They didn't like the fact that he talked about Gentiles, that he talked about repentance for Jews. They didn't need repentance. They were Jews. And now, you know, we'll come back and we'll touch a little bit about that, and people can call if they want.
Yeah, if you want to call, 844-777-7777. 844-777-SWAT, 844-777-SWAT. Email us at ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The floor. Florida, Georgia Truth Network and Ocean Way at 91.7.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without. Never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Tuesday afternoon. Call in this afternoon, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. Always love to know you're out there listening, and maybe you've got a word for us. Maybe you want to ask a question or make a comment.
Well, you know, here's a question of application for us. In light of even just the first idea of how unbelief ridicules and rejects God's divine evidence, what do I do when God brings divine truth to my front door? How do I respond? Do I ridicule it? Do I flat out reject it because I don't want to be accountable to it, or I don't want to embrace it? It's so easy to get caught up in the moment. And in my life, I deal with it all the time. Yeah. And, you know, when divine truth comes, you know, what do we do with it?
Yeah. You and I were just talking about, it's one of the reasons I love doing this. You know, you got to have another brother close by. You could, you know, the struggle isn't for especially guys like you or guys like me who open the Word routinely, daily, not just to study it, but to teach it, is we're not lacking information.
Yeah.
We're not lacking, we're not even lacking understanding or knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We oftentimes are lacking belief. Mm. Belief is not knowledge. Belief is acting on the knowledge that we have. And boy, this text is, you know, what, I mean, no different really than the way we respond a lot of times.
Yeah.
We reject it because we're not obedient to it.
Yeah. You know, we were talking a little bit about it this morning that, you know, and you say this a lot, that you can know the Bible.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that know the Bible. I know a lot of Mormons that know the Bible. I know Jehovah's Witness that know the Bible. They don't know it all correctly, but they know a lot of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's Muslims that know a lot of the Bible, but they don't apply it through the lens of the gospel, the euangelion, and allow that to be the lens through which they apply the truth of God's Word. And it has to be, you know, when you embrace Jesus in the gospel that he has proclaimed, the gospel his apostles proclaimed, the gospel Paul proclaimed. It is a gospel that says when you become a believer, you become a part of his kingdom. You become a part of his family, his kingdom, and you're accountable to him first and foremost.
Yeah.
I mean, bottom line is, when you're a believer, you are not free to live independently of him. The very reason you came to him is for dependence.
Because you need him.
Unless you came for the wrong reason, because we need him.
Yeah.
And so we come to him, and, you know, John MacArthur, you know, clearly teaches, and it's correct teaching, that we are slaves to him when we come into his kingdom. We trade slavery to sin and Satan to slavery for him. And it is a indentured kind of slavery where we want to be his, right?
That's
we want to be his. With Satan, we don't want to be Satan's, I don't think. Certainly if you're a believer, you don't want to be Satan's. Now, Satan makes it look very attractive, but the bottom line is that a lot of people know the word. You got to, like you say a lot of times, let the word go not only in you, but it goes through you.
Yeah.
And so that's when you look at belief, this whole idea of unbelief is people that knew the word. These people in the synagogue, they knew what the scriptures were.
That's right.
But when the God of the universe was there in front of them saying, okay, this is happening right now, they rejected him. So, if you look at James 1:23 says this, anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says, it's like somebody who looks in a mirror and after looking goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
I think we got a call there, Doug.
Okay.
I don't see the sheet, but Doug, it's on your screen there. Who's calling? Oh. we're in a new studio.
Oh, it's Jay. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
we were just telling everybody to pray for you guys. How are you?
I know it, and we so appreciate that. We're doing well. I just wanted to tell you, as we were listening to this message, it is, everything y'all were talking about there is so timely and a lot of things that are going on, and but about sharing the gospel and the Evangelion, and just to give you it's a long story, but I'm going to give you a little quick snippet of it here. Yesterday, we were in Battle Mountain, Nevada. It's out in the middle of the desert, out in the middle of nowhere. And that's where we stayed the night. We found a place, kind of got in late, stayed there. So yesterday morning, we got up to leave, and there was a guy driving like a little Bobcat, you know, front end loader. He was taking some rock and spreading it. We were leaving the hotel. Lee and I had just went. We go every morning. Usually we'll go for a prayer walk and we just have a prayer list and we just pray over that list. So we just finished up. I walked around to her door and opened the door and let her in to the car. And he turns off the Bobcat as I showed her door and I'm walking around to get in to leave. And he says, hey, are y'all from Florida? He saw our tag. He said, are y'all from Florida? I said, yes, we are. And he said, are y'all married? I said, yes, we are, 25 years. And he said, well, you don't see that. And I kind of, for a minute, I wasn't sure what he said. And I thought, okay, he's talking about me opening her door. And so I said, yeah. I said, well, that's something I've been doing it for over 25 years. he said, man. He looked, there was a young man working with him about 15, 16. He looked at him and he said, you see that? You need to learn from that.
Amen. Amen.
And so anyway, I just said, well, I introduced myself and his name was Jose. And I said, well, it was nice meeting you. And as I turned to walk away, because Lee and I had prayed when we came out here, y'all know all the situation of everything, but that we're not just going on a trip. We're on mission for what God wants us to do and what he has for us to do while we're out here and having people to cross our paths and this, that, and the other. And so I turned to him and I said, Jose, let me ask you a question. I said, my wife and I have a prayer list. I said, that's what we were doing when you saw us a little bit ago. I said, is there anything we can pray for you about? And he kind of looked at me a little bit odd and he said, there's people that need prayer more than I do. And I said, well, no, that's not true. I said, we all need prayer. And anyway, that, me opening her door, started a conversation where we probably spent about 30 to 40 minutes in that parking lot having an opportunity to share the gospel, talk with him. You could see he was visibly moved, that God was working in his life. And he told us that he had, we told him, we said, you know, God is going to bring more people across your path to make himself more and more real to you. This is just something that he's used us today. But we know when we leave here, there's going to be other people that are going to come across your path, and God is going to, he's working in your life. He said, well, I have clients. He's a, does landscaping too. He says, I have clients that do that now. Okay. I said, so here he is again, reaching out to you to show his love to you through us. And then we had, again, had the opportunity to share the gospel, you know, and share the euangelion, that it's about repenting of your sins, that Jesus Christ is risen. He rules and he reigns. God raised him from the dead, confessing that with your mouth, following him in complete submission, surrender, and obedience as your Lord, your Master, and your Savior. And so we talked about that. He was so, you think everyone knows the Bible. Everyone knows what a Bible is. Mm-hmm. He grew up in a Catholic church many years ago, left the church, had some bad things happen. He didn't even know what we were talking about with the Bible. He says, what kind of Bible do you read? What is that? We said, the Holy Bible. I went and got my Bible, my John MacArthur study Bible out of the back of the car and brought it over and showed him. We told him about the book of John. You know, start reading the book of John. He didn't have a Bible. He said, you know what, though? He said, there's some guys that just came in here this morning with four cases of those Bibles and dropping them off here to put in the rooms.
Oh, my. Gideon's.
The Gideons, exactly. And he said, I can get one of those Bibles. And we said, okay. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, how the messages you're talking about, sharing the gospel, the euangelion, and just how God used the simple act of that, as we told him yesterday, of me opening her car door to get a conversation started and then to take it right into Jesus. It was beautiful. Both Lee and I drove away and were just in awe of God and thanking him for the opportunity to be a witness and a testimony and an example for him. We put him on our prayer list, that his name was Jose, and Rudy was the young man that was with him, and told him we were going to continue to pray. He thanked us, and like I say, you could tell that God was definitely tugging at his heart.
That is awesome. Well, how's Lee? How's Lee doing?
You know, Doug, she's actually, what's going on the inside, you wouldn't know it by looking at her on the outside. She feels okay. You know, she'll get tired some. Some of the different medication and stuff and treatments that we're doing right now, we just believe God's using those to work. But she's feeling, she's feeling good right now. She's enjoying this. She actually got out of the car when I started talking with him, because when he said he didn't need prayer and, she came back there, and so we basically kind of tag-teamed him.
That's good.
Standing there and talking, and she began to tell him her story and where she's at and her health issues that she's dealing with, and how that she's not afraid, to die if God chooses not to work in that way, and because she knows where she's going. That was real to him, because he even asked her, he said, you're not afraid? And she said, no, because I know Jesus. He's my Lord and my Savior. And she began to share that as well. And it was beautiful. And that's where I say you could just see that, God's at work in his life. And so we're praying for him daily. And we know that God's going to send people across his path.
Jay, thanks for your faithfulness. Praying for Lee, and just so thankful for you, brother. And we're going to put a bow on that for the day, as we're coming to the end of our broadcast. Doug, I'm looking forward to getting back in here tomorrow with you as we work our way through the rest of this passage.
Yep.
And Mark,
and we got SWAT
6.
Tomorrow.
That's
at
right.
At YMCA.
Come join us. SWATradio.com. Click on the meetings tab and check it out.